first, do you have a favorite quote, one that means a lot to you for some reason? Maybe it's become sort of a personal motto. Maybe you really admire the person who said it and appreciate the circumstances under which it was first said. Or maybe it's just funny, witty, and easy to go to. If it's a well-known quote, odds are you'll find it in the new Yale Book of Quotations. It's an update from the 2006 edition, which came out this week. Among the 12,000-plus entries include Shakespeare, Oscar Wilde, Donald Trump, and some Wisconsinites like astronaut James Lovell.
Houston, we've had a problem.
And we want to know which quotes speak to you at 800-642-1234. Is there a well-known saying or expression that you particularly enjoy? Any that you find motivating or help you stay on track? Maybe you've got a quote from a friend or family member that resonates with you. We want to hear it. Call in now, 800-642-1234, and you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Fred Shapiro is the Associate Director for Collections and Special Projects at the Yale Law School Library. He's also the editor of the new Yale Book of Quotations, as well as the book's original release. Fred, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So can you talk just a little bit about the origins of the 2006 edition of this book and how you got into quotations?
When I was 10 years old, my father brought back a copy of Bartlett's Quotations from a used bookstore. And I really enjoyed browsing through it, learning about history and literature and culture from the quotations. And I kept that interest. And eventually, a publisher asked me if I wanted to do a reference book for them. And I said, yes, definitely, a book of quotations. The rest is history.
Can you tell me one of those early quotations from the Bartlett's book that stood out to you, that you kept with you over the years?
People ask me about my favorite quotations, and it's like a favorite child. I know too many of them I have too many swimming in my head to focus on one.
Sure.
One quote, which is a nice one, is by a French writer, André Gide. He said, "Believe those who are seeking the truth, doubt those who find it."
And why has that stood out to you?
It's saying something which I think is true. It's saying it in an eloquent way, and it's provocative. It gives you something to think about.
Of course, we are talking to Fred Shapiro right now, Associate Director for Collections and Special Projects at the Yale Law School Library. He's also the editor of the new Yale Book of Quotations. That's an update from the 2006 edition, and we're taking your calls right now at 800-642-1234. So, Fred, to you, what makes a quote, quote, worthy?
Well, I mean, my main criterion is famousness. If it's something that is known by millions of people, that is quoted all the time, if you do a Google search, it comes up with oodles of hits. That's my main criterion for including it in the book. But I also look for quotes that are maybe not world famous, but are very eloquent or very funny. And also quotes that are historically important. The Emancipation Proclamation by Abraham Lincoln is a quote which had tremendous historic impact and freed the slaves.
Now, Fred, I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Scott in Madison. Hi, Scott.
Hey, afternoon. My quote would be from J. Edgar Hoover in a meeting after the Chicago Police Department was given a good kill on the murder of Fred Hampton. And Mr. Hoover was asked by one of the other members of the group that was there, "Was justice served?" And to answer that, Mr. Hoover said, "Justice is an obstacle to law and order.
Scott,
thank you. I heard that one before. That's
thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, and Fred, what do you think of that? How does that resonate to you, I guess, in a historical way?
Well, you know, part of what makes a great quote is if it comes from someone who is very well known, an interesting figure, whether for good or bad. J. Edgar Hoover was certainly that, and it, you know, it tells you a lot about him, about his way of thinking and his values.
Thank you again for that call, Scott. I want to go back to our callers because a lot of people have quotes they want to share. We have Patricia in Manitowoc. Hi, Patricia.
Hi. I have a lot of them that I like, especially from my family members, but I'm going to go with one from the writer Maya Angelou. When people tell you who they are, believe them.
And Patricia, why does that quote stick out to you?
Well, because, you know, we all say things. We say we're going to do this and do that. But it kind of goes back to actions speak louder than words.
Patricia, thank you so much for that quote. So Patricia points to that really famous Maya Angelou quote, you know, when people tell you who they are, believe them. Does this show up in your book?
No, I do have a number of quotes by Maya Angelou, who was pretty quotable, but I didn't have that one. But that's a good one. Maybe the next edition I should include it.
And so, Fred, you know, there are so many quotes. They float around so much. Why do you think quotes are important to us? What do quotes tell us about ourselves?
Well, you know, first of all, we live in a society now where people are more interested than ever in the snippet, the catchphrase, the short, pithy expression of ideas. Fewer people have the time now or the patience to sit through a long text. They're looking for something that's quick and catchy. And we have so much of our culture now is communicated through internet memes, through sound bites that we see on television, that you know, a short quote is exactly what people find useful and what gives them a quick charge of interest and excitement.
We're talking about famous quotes right now. The new Yale Book of Quotations came out on Tuesday, and it's an update on the 2006 edition. The book contains 12,000 comments, quips, and expressions from everything from literature, pop culture, sports, politics, and more. Fred Shapiro edited both of those books, and he is the Associate Director for Collections and Special Projects at the Yale Law School Library, and he stays with us now. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Share your favorite quote with us and what it means to you. Again, the number 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And I'm going to go back to our callers right now. We have Michael in Appleton. Hi, Michael.
Hey.
What did you want to bring
up,
Michael?
Call. I'm calling with a quote, but it's not actually a favorite quote. It's just one that I wanted to sort of bring up. And it's the ends justify the means. And Machiavelli. And the reason I bring it up is just that almost exclusively when people say it, they're A, trying to justify something bad, and generally misunderstanding and misapplying it, you know, and don't really acknowledge the fact that it shouldn't really be seen as a good thing that you're saying the ends justify the means.
And Michael, is that one of those phrases that when you hear people use it, that maybe it like kind of gets on your nerves a little bit when they seem to be using it incorrectly?
And it's not even incorrectly. It's just that the people who have a tendency to use it in justification of their actions are generally sort of smarmy and often not very great people.
Michael, well, thank you so much for sharing that. And Fred, I'm going to turn back to you because we hear that phrase, the ends justify the means, a lot, and it's shorthand. And we were just talking a little bit about why people do rely on quotes like that to get to the point really fast. Do you hear frequently quotes either misapplied or misused kind of just in general day-to-day conversations?
Sure, all the time. You know, it's disturbing to hear that people are using the end justifies the means, using that phrase as if they agree with it. You know, the point of the quote is to say to someone else, "Oh, you're saying that the end justifies the means," meaning that you're doing something wrong, that you're doing something inappropriate. If people think that's a great quote, then that's kind of scary, that they're, you know, they're embracing a kind of immorality and devil may care attitude.
And Michael, thank you again for that call. Oh, Fred, were you about to say something?
Yeah. So there are many quotes that really are misunderstood, like the exception proves the rule. People use that quote thinking that because there's an exception to a rule, then that proves that the rule is correct, which is not what the quote means. The quote was originally used to mean it's a legal kind of expression where if you see a sign saying keep off the grass on Sundays, that implies that you can go on the grass on every other day. So the very fact that someone is saying there's an exception is telling you that there is a rule. But people rarely use that one correctly.
And Fred, I'll have to admit, I think I am guilty of using that quote incorrectly. We are talking to Fred Shapiro right now, Associate Director for Collections and Special Projects at the Yale Law School Library. He's the editor of the new Yale Book of Quotations, which just got a refresh from the 2006 edition. And I'm going to go back to our callers right now. We have Donna in Brookfield. Hi, Donna.
Hi, good to talk to you this afternoon. Well, I do have a favorite quote. It's actually like an African proverb, I believe. And it means so much to me that it's even my tagline underneath my email signature. And it's that it takes a village. And I'm a middle school teacher, and I just want parents to know that, hey, we're in this together. I know this isn't an easy age, but we're in this together, and we're going to get your kid to where they need to be.
And Donna, do you have parents respond to that at all ever when they see it in your email signature?
I do. I do sometimes. They'll say, you know what? You really live by those words. They'll tell me. And I say, I try to. I do.
Well, Donna, thank you so much for sharing that and for being a teacher. Now, Fred, we just heard about that proverb. It takes a village. And how it resonates not just with Donna but with parents. Do quotes do that as like an equalizer sometimes, that people can kind of get a sense of who the other person is when they use something like that?
Yes, and you know, quotations are establish a kind of a bond between the people that use them and the people that understand them and hear them. One person says something and other people say, oh, yes, that is true. Some of these quotes are what are called proverbs. And proverbs are basic kinds of statements of the human condition that a lot of people can respond to. And in my book, I include all the well-known proverbs. And, you know, what I do in my book, which is different from most other quote books, is I try to trace each quote to its origins and its give its history. For example, it takes a village to raise a child. Now, that's often referred to as an African proverb or a West African proverb. But you know, if you look in my book, it will tell you that no African proverb saying that has ever been actually discovered, but that the earliest use of it that I was able to find was by a very famous writer, Toni Morrison, who used it in 1981 in an article in Essence magazine. She said, "I don't think one parent can raise a child. I don't think two parents can raise a child. You really need the whole village."
Thank you for that. That is really shining a light on a quote that we see a fair amount, Fred. Now, I want to go. We have a lot of people who want to share their favorites. I want to go to Gwen in Madison. Hi, Gwen.
Hello. My favorite quote is not nearly as profound as other people. It's from Mae West. And she's quoted as saying, "You only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough." And I love that because it shows a joy for living.
Yeah, and Gwen, do you find yourself going back to that quote every once in a while, or is it just something that is kind of a mantra for you at this point?
It just makes me smile.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Gwen. That's super fun. Now, Fred, Mae West, I feel like, gets quoted a lot. You know, famous actor from the early 20th century, mid to early 20th century. You know, why is she such a cultural touchstone?
I have a big, big Mae West section in my book. I have 24 quotes from Mae West in my book. And, well, you know, she was a very colorful figure. People nowadays don't realize that she was a very talented person, multi-talented person, that she wrote plays. She was not just an actress. And you know, some of her quotes have become quite famous, like, "Why don't you come up and see me sometime?" "Is that a gun in your pocket, or are you just glad to see me?" In one of her films, a judge says to her character, "Are you trying to show contempt for the court?" So she says, "No, I'm doing my best to conceal it." She said, "I keep a diary, and someday it'll keep you." I could go on, but she's one of the top people from the 20th century.
Well, what's interesting about what Donna just said was that, you know, it was, you know, it might not be profound, but it sticks with her, which I feel like is a profound thing. Even if it's a little sillier or it sounds funny, like, those humorous quotes can really stick with people. And I want to talk about another humorist right now, being brought up by Keith in Forest County. Hi, Keith.
Hi. Yeah. One of my favorite people to quote is Oscar Wilde. And one of the one I like perhaps most of all from him is, "Be yourself. Everyone else is taken."
And Keith, why does that stick out to you?
Well, it is so absurdly obvious, of course. and indeed, if one looks at the life of Oscar Wilde as a gay man back in the UK when it was illegal to be so, ironically, so often, he could not be himself for fear of the law in Great Britain at that time.
Well, Keith, thank you so much for sharing that. Oscar Wilde is another example of, you know, those literary writers who have made a really big impact when it comes to quotes outside of just their literary work. Can you talk a little bit about Oscar Wilde in your book?
Yeah. All right. Now here. All right. So up to now, maybe I've been the good guy and people say, "Oh, he's telling us all these wonderful quotes." But I have to be kind of the bad guy now, that there are a lot of phony quotes that are out there. And this to me is a big issue because we're living in a an age, as we all know, of where there's a lot of misinformation being spread about. Okay, so Oscar Wilde never said that. It's not something he would have said. It's more of a modern kind of quote than something that from Oscar Wilde's era. But it is always attributed to him. But in my book, I make the effort to separate the quotes that people really said from the ones they didn't. And it's still a great quote. You know, even if Oscar Wilde never said it, it's a fine quote that people can enjoy. But he did not actually say that. He's like the I have a huge section of Oscar Wilde in my book. He's the English Mark Twain, where he's tremendously quotable. A lot of his real quotes are wonderful, but he also attracts a lot of misquotes, misattributions.
Well, Fred, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today. This was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you. It was fun to me, too.
Fred Shapiro is Associate Director for Collections and Special Projects at the Yale Law School Library. He's also the editor of the new Yale Book of Quotations, which came out this week. We talked with him about famous quotes and what makes a quote memorable.